Jesus spoke a lot about mountains, or at least he spoke some about mountains. And, you know, when mountains were referred to, they were used to refer to as obstacles or something difficult or maybe or impossible to move. A mountain is huge. And if you, does it work? There, it did work. All right. So, you know, I don't know if this is Mount Everest or not. I don't think it is. But the statistics are, so Mount Everest is not the tallest mountain, but it is the highest peak, the highest elevation in the world, and it's 8,850 meters above sea level. If you were to figure out the volume of it, it'd be 2.1 trillion cubic feet and 178.5 billion tons. All right, how long would it take to move that with a crane? We need bigger trucks, bigger cranes, a few more volunteers, a little more than 10 or 8. But, you know, when we travel outside of Saskatchewan, we see those mountains for the first time. It's like, wow, they're enormous. These monuments of unmovable. And when, you know, when they build roads and train tracks through, they don't move the mountains out of the way to make a nice straight rail line. They go around them. Once in a while, they might blow a tunnel through just along the side to get through somewhere, but they don't move mountains. You can't go to BC and say, hey, I want my house there, and have a mountain moving party and say, we're going to move that mountain so I can have my house there. You just don't do that. It's just too enormous. So it represents something that is immovable, something that is an obstacle. And in Matthew chapter 17 and also in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus refers to mountains. And Jesus is telling his disciples about the power of faith and what can be accomplished if we have faith in God. And at the same time, without faith in God, there will be mountains that do not move. Jesus was teaching the power of faith. So a question this morning is, what kind of mountain is in your life? What kind of circumstance looks impossible? Jesus made it clear that with God all things are possible, and yet in our world we may see things that look impossible. But if we would trust God and actually follow through in trust, did you hear that? Follow through in trust? Because if there is no trust, there is no follow through. If we follow through, you might see some shaking in your circumstances. You might see some collapsing of things that you never thought could be changed. God can move a mountain that you thought would never be shaken. In Matthew chapter 21, this is where Jesus curses the fig tree. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to the city, he became hungry. He was a man. He was born a man. He got hungry. And we see in verse 19, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. Did Jesus get angry? Hangry, as we say? How hungry was he? Is this about a fig tree? It isn't really about a fig tree. This is what you call a teachable moment. But we read on. It says, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Wow. Is this about a superpower of cursing fig trees? No. Is this about actually literally taking a mountain and asking it to fall into the sea? Not really. It wouldn't help us here in Saskatchewan anyways. But this is a teachable moment. In fact, the first part here, this is from Matthew Henry's commentary. It says, this cursing of the barren fig tree represents the state of hypocrites in general. You know, he went to the fig tree when there were supposed to be figs on it. He expected to find fruit on that tree. It claimed to be a fig tree, but there was no figs on it. You know, that speaks to us as people that confess faith in Christ but have no fruit in our lives. He curses that fig tree and it dies. If we put our feet where our mouth is, that's faith. And what will happen if we follow through with faith? When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. And Jesus said, you will do what has been done here and even more. The next commentary that I have there, it's not there. All right. I didn't update my PowerPoint. Let me ask you the question here. Can we ask for whatever we want? Can we ask for whatever we want? Because it says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it by faith. Charles Ellicott, in his commentary, said, there is the implied condition that what is asked is in harmony with the laws and will of God. If it were not so, it would not be asked in faith. And every true prayer involves a submission of what is asked to the divine judgment. In other words, it's not about us being able to ask whatever we want, but we ask in faith to our Lord God, who is able to do all things. He is the one that can move mountains. And in that passage, Jesus is making the point that it's not about just saying that we believe, it's actually believing in faith and going to the God that can do these things. You know, I want to look at Moses as we've been walking through the Bible here and see how God worked through Moses to move a mountain. He was a Hebrew boy, and this is where you can turn to Exodus chapter 3. He was a Hebrew boy raised in the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the dictator of Egypt, the most powerful man around, and he got to be raised in that household. Some might say he had the silver spoon experience. Everything was, he had access to everything. And while he was there, all of his fellow Hebrews were enslaved to manual labor. The Egyptians feared them. They were growing in numbers so much that they put them into manual labor and they oppressed them. And it was a situation that became increasingly oppressive. Moses ended up, I believe he really had a heart for his people. He went out amongst his people and he saw what was happening to them and how they were being whipped and forced into labor. And Moses stepped into a situation and killed an Egyptian. Probably thought he was doing something good at the time, but it ended up backfiring on him. And Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And Moses had to run away from the situation. Moses found himself in the country of Midian. He marries, he becomes a father, he becomes a shepherd. I don't know how well he was able to put the past in the past. I really don't know. It doesn't talk about that. And you wonder how often he thought about his fellow Hebrews back home. Or if he just realized, wow, I have a good life now, and he tried to move forward with things. God had not forgotten about them. God was calling Moses. I have a feeling that Moses really cared about his people back home, but he didn't know what to do about it. And he couldn't go back there because Pharaoh was going to kill him. Sometimes we look at a situation and we just say, it's impossible. I can't. In Exodus chapter 3, 9 to 12, it says, and this is God speaking, he says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. I hear them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God hears them and says, I want you, Moses, to go. Just go, I'm sending you. Of course, Moses, being probably like any one of us, replies in verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God, I can't. God, that's impossible for me. I thought about my people and what they're going through. I thought maybe I could do something, but I can't do what you're asking. No one can do it. That's impossible. Pharaoh's a dictator. They've been oppressed for 400 years. They don't know anything about fighting back. Well, you want me to go there as a military leader? I'm not a military leader. I can't lead a revolution. Or what? You want me to go and ring Pharaoh's doorbell? And when he answers the door, say, hey, can I take my people for a walk? Can we go? No. I can't do that. That's crazy. God, that's crazy. And God said, call me crazy one more time. No, he didn't say that. But in essence, he did. He dealt with all of Moses' excuses in verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Wow, what an incredible word. He's saying, I'm going to take my people and I'm going to deliver them and I'm going to put a new worship in their hearts. When they see it's me who delivers them, they're going to worship me and it's going to be a new mountaintop experience. What is their mountain? In our situation, when we want to do something, we look at all kinds of things. Well, you know, we don't have the finances for that. We don't have the volunteer power for that. I wouldn't even know where to start with something like that. You know, starting an organization to do something. What is the mountain? We can come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't. Here we see one obstacle, and that is Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, it says, Pharaoh said, who is this Lord Who is this Yahweh that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know this Yahweh. I'm not going to let Israel go. That's a mountain. When you realize how powerful Pharaoh was and the situation there for the Hebrews. So how do we move a mountain? First of all, we don't do it by ourselves. If I had to say, it's all about me and I've got to somehow do this, you know, I get overwhelmed very easily. I don't even know where to start sometimes. You know, when I look at our society and I see some of the issues that are going on and some of the troubles, whether it's marriages or dysfunctional families or addictions or our youth growing up in a godless society, I don't sometimes even know where to start. How do you impact them? And probably if you were called to youth ministry now, if God was speaking to you right now about moving into youth, where do you even start, right? But we don't do it by ourselves. Exodus 3:10 says, I am sending you. Exodus 3:12 says, I will be with you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. God fights our battles. All those ideas are in Scripture over and over again. We don't do it by ourselves. And we don't do it without faith. We don't do it without faith. Faith is what turns us to God. Faith is us looking to Him. We can't do it hypocritically. We can't say, yeah, I believe this and not follow through with this. There needs to be application of faith. Faith is what leads us into obedience and trust. We work within God's timing when it comes to moving mountains. And I bring this up because in chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 19, it says, go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. This was God's timing. You can go back now. This is it. We work in God's timing. We work with God's equipping and His power. Chapter 4, verse 21 says, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. So he called Moses. Moses had a lot of weaknesses, a lot of issues. He didn't have any experience in delivering people that are in slavery. He didn't take any college training for that. He didn't go to Bible school. None of that stuff, right? But God says, this is what you have. You have a staff in your hand. You've used it for shepherding before. But now I want you to throw it on the ground. And God began to show Moses some miraculous things that God wanted Pharaoh to see. And he equipped him. I think we struggle sometimes as Christians believing that God actually equips us. I think we struggle with that. To say that God can use what I have and who I am and do something with it. And he did it with something that Moses already had in his hand, a staff. We also must understand that we need to see it through to the end. Have to see it through to the end. These are mountains. They don't necessarily move immediately. Pharaoh did not move immediately. He did not get out of the way. There was a long journey here, a difficult journey. And the 10 plagues began to happen one after the other and progressively worse until all the Egypt lost all their firstborn. And you know what? Even in the midst of all that, there was his own people saying, what are you doing? You're just making it worse for us. They had to work harder. Like the Egyptians oppressed them even more when this all started. There are times where you might be standing alone but know the call of God in your life and what you're called to do. And you just have to play it through to the end and trust God to the end, and mountains can move. One question, does my faith have to be perfect? There's a passage in Scripture that says, you know, believe and believe without doubting. But there's also passages where Jesus asked someone, do you believe? And they replied by saying, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God did the miracle. It's faith that says, I'm turning to you, God, to move this mountain in my life, to move this mountain in our community, to bring down the walls, to make some changes. And the impossible happened. We need to believe that God can do the impossible. Exodus chapter 12, verse 31, it says, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your people and go worship. I love the idea that the word there is worship. It's not that we just want to leave. No, we want to go leave and worship our Lord, our Yahweh. Pharaoh announced, you can go. In Exodus 12, 35 and 36, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The word plunder is usually in the context of you going in with arms and swords and defeating the other people and then taking all their stuff. Not one sword was raised in this impossible situation. Not one sword was raised. God did all the work. God moved this mountain because Moses went in and did what he was supposed to do in faith. You know, he was not perfect either. You know, there's actually a passage, and you should go back and read it because it's a very interesting passage. There's a passage where the Lord was actually going to kill Moses. Moses was on his way to Egypt, and there's a moment there where the Lord was going to kill Moses because he was not following through with his own faith. He suddenly realized, hey, I got to live what I'm saying I'm living. I got to follow through. But wow, not a sword was raised. Pharaoh, although the most powerful man on the earth probably at that time, was powerless against God. Our mountains, our enemies cannot stand against our God. And when we move forward as Christian people into our world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against what God is doing. The movie that I just watched, the Gridiron Gang movie, it's with actor Dwayne Johnson. It's an older movie. But he's working with juvenile delinquents in a detention center. And he's extremely frustrated with the system. He's tired of not seeing any positive results. These kids are violent and troubled and part of gangs when they come in, and they're the same when they leave. And they were seeing a high percentage of repeat offenders. And he was getting to the place, like, what do we do? What do we do? This looks impossible. He decides he wants to start a football program and just saying, hey, well, football can teach them discipline and they'll work hard. It'll bring them together as a team. Let's start a football program. And he's presenting that to some other people that he works with. And one of them said, with these kids? That's impossible. That's impossible. To which the actor Dwayne Johnson, his character, responds, well, let's try the impossible because possible just isn't working. And I like that. It's like we can do things in our own power with our own talents and our own giftings, and we can run nice programs and everything else. But I believe God is calling his Christian people to say, put your faith in me. Put your faith in me for the results. And I like that. So as I think about the youth that are growing up in a godless culture, when I think of broken and dysfunctional families and marriages and addictions and dependencies, when I think of people that need healing, let's expect and anticipate and believe God for something God-sized. Something God-sized. And trust God and let's watch the mountains move. I don't know if this resonates with you in some particular area. If that mountain is a relationship, if that mountain is finances, if that mountain is a burden that God is putting on your heart for something that you're seeing in your neighborhood or in your community, I'm not sure what mountain you're seeing, but I believe that God, if we're waiting on God, he puts burdens on our hearts for things that we see. And sometimes we look at those things and say, oh, I see that and it burdens me, and I can pray, but... And prayer is good. Part of moving mountains is praying and fasting. But as God puts those things in our hearts, sometimes we look at those things and say, yeah, but what can I do? What can I do? And I don't know where to start. I don't know how we can make a difference. But I think when God begins to put those things on our hearts, we just have to believe God can do something impossible with us and in that situation. That he can move mountains and he can tear down walls. And he can do it amongst our young people. He can do it amongst our seniors. You know, wouldn't it be cool to have revival happen because our seniors get a burden on their heart for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and they start saying, it's time to come back to God.
Yes.
Who else are kids going to listen to? Maybe it's our seniors standing up and saying, it's time to put our faith back in God. I don't know. But God can do the impossible, and when we see it, we're going to be standing on that mountain worshiping him, because he's brought us to a new mountain, and we see his glory, and we see his wonder. So I don't know what's on your heart, but whatever it is, I pray that you would just let it grow. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you on that. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So let's just wait before him, and you can sing with Ainsley, or you can just spend some time in prayer. Pray for our church. Pray for your own ministry. Whatever it is, if you've got a particular mountain right now that's weighing you down, that's in your way, that's an obstacle, hey, let's move that mountain this morning.